الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, one of the sunnats on Friday is to recite Suratul Kahf. Suratul Kahf is, in order for us to understand the majesty and the magnificence of Suratul Kahf, then there are reports which mention when Suratul Kahf was revealed, 70,000 angels came down with it to show the majesty of the surah, the virtues of the surah. This is a surah that has been prescribed against the fitnas of the time, as though this is the antidote for the fitnas that will always be coming about. Suratul Kahf. In one hadith, it is mentioned, مَنْ قَرَأَ سُورَةَ الْكَهْفِ سَتَعَ لَهُ نُورٌ مِّن تَحْتِ قَدَمِهِ إِلَىٰ عَنَانِ السَّمَاءِ يُدِيءُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَغُفِرَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ الْجُمْعَةِينَ. That person who recites Suratul Kahf, then there is a light that comes out from beneath his feet and it shines right to the clouds of the sky. And this light will shine for him on the day of Qiyamah. And the sins that were committed between both the Fridays, the previous Friday and this Friday, all the minor sins are all forgiven and wiped out. According to some narrations, it's mentioned not only 7 days, 3 days more. So for 10 days, a person is getting forgiveness by reciting Suratul Kahf. In one narration, it's mentioned, مَنْ قَرَأَ سُورَةَ الْكَهْفِ كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا بَيْنَ مَقَامِهِ إِلَىٰ مَكَّةِ. That person who recites Suratul Kahf, then there will be a light that now shines between him right to Makkah Mukarrama. That light extends from this person right to the Kaaba, right to Makkah Mukarrama. In a time of darkness, what do you need the most? You need light. If it's a dark night and there's a rock that is black in color and there's a black creature that is crawling on the rock, how will a person be able to see that? He can have all the education. He can even have knowledge too. He could have memorized kitabs as well. But what you need nur, you need light. Nur is something that will open up the way for you. It will expose the truth from falsehood. Nur will show you what is the right thing for you to do. That is the nur that we require and we need. And to the barakat of this surah, we get this nur. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ قَرَأَ سُورَةَ الْكَهْفِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ فَهُوَ مَعْسُومٌ إِلَىٰ ثَمَانِيَةِ اَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ فِتْنَةٍ قَرَجَ الدَّجَّالُ أُسِمَ مِنْ. That person who recites Suratul Kahf on a Friday, then he will be protected for 8 days from every fitna. And if Dajjal has to come out in that time, then he will also be protected from Dajjal. As we all aware of this, that this is the era and time of fitna. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Uli rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned many years back that every day the sun rises with a new fitna. There's some new challenge. There's some new trial. There's something taking you away from your deen. Something taking you away to the dunya, distracting you, taking up your time, consuming your time, and taking you to the wrong path. So every day the sun rises with a new fitna. And this surah is the antidote against the fitnas. And Dajjal, regarding Dajjal, our ulama have mentioned that Dajjal has not come out still. First Hazrat Mahdi has to come to the world, and then Dajjal will come, and then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come. But what some ulama have mentioned is that although Dajjal has not emerged, but the forerunners of Dajjal are paving the way for him. They are as though preparing. They are preparing this field for Dajjal. So when Dajjal comes, his work is very easy. And these people are working around the clock. They are working very, very hard. In fact, it may not be wrong to say that the amount of effort that the forces of Batil are using in this day and time, perhaps in the history of mankind, they never made so much of effort. They are sparing no effort. They are prepared to spend billions and trillions of dollars. Money doesn't mean anything to them. As long as they can push people out of the straight path, whether it is they are using the media, whether it is they're using technology, they're using smartphones, they're using the education system, they're using the entertainment. Music is one of the worst weapons, or the deadliest weapons that the kuffar use against us. Music was always haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already prohibited us from music. But in recent times, it's not just the music, but there's also subliminal messages. There's also backtracking messages. Some ulama who have done the research on this, they said that when they started with this backtracking messages, they started off with messages like, hate your mom. So these songs, they're looking at, took songs that people are listening to all the time. Children are listening to them all the time. And they put this backtrack message, hate your mom. And they left it for a little while, and then they did a survey, and they found that the children who were listening to that those songs, they had developed a hatred in their hearts towards their mothers, many of them. Many of them developed a hatred towards the mothers. Then they put another message, kill your dad. So they put the message, kill your dad. They waited to see. Eventually they found that there were some children that went and killed the fathers. And there were some who said that we didn't kill our fathers, but we don't know why this compelling feeling is coming in us that we must kill our fathers. We don't know why this feeling is coming. They went to the psychiatrist, the psychologist, and they had told that we don't know why these thoughts are coming to our mind. Then they put messages like, there's no God. Messages like, I am Satan. Now the child is listening to that song all the time. Now what's happening? Gradually, he's got no interest towards deen. Now there's no interest towards namaz. Don't tell him to read namaz. There's no God. He's conscious. Something is telling him there's no Allah. It's just this dunya. Live it now and live it up. Enjoy your life. You just live once. Why are you going to read namaz? Allah protect. But this is all part of that efforts that the forerunners of Dajjal are doing to pave the way for Dajjal. So that people are ready. Youngsters are ready. Women are ready. So this Dajjali fitna has already commenced. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us a very powerful dua. Unfortunately, respected friends, we don't learn these duas and we don't make these duas. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam wa a'udhu bika min adhabi al-qabr wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is one of the duas after every namaz. And some riwayats have got it that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read it before the salam, after the tashahud. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَى وَالْمَمَاتِ. So we are seeking protection all the time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us to recite Suratul Kahf. You recite Suratul Kahf. In fact, some of the elders, They were even emphasizing that now the time has come that you must read it every day. And Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, according to some tafsir kitabs mentioned, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu an, he had the habit every night of reciting Suratul Kahf. He had it written on a slate, and wherever he would go, he would take that slate with him, and he would make sure he would recite Suratul Kahf every night. And then there's some said that if you can't read the whole surah, then read the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses. Because the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses, according to some narrations, that is sufficient to protect the person from Dajjal. So you read that. So one is the recitation of the surah, learning the surah, reading it in the manner we ought to read it. We should always try to improve our recitation of the Quran Sharif. At no point should we become complacent. Learning never stops. From the cradle till the grave. We have to carry on learning. So maybe you're reading the Suratul Kahf, but you're not reading it properly. Then also the message of Suratul Kahf. Remember the message. It's got a profound message. It's very important for us to study the tafsir of Suratul Kahf, especially in this day and time. But study it from someone who can open it up to us with in different angles for us to understand how the surah becomes an antidote. Alhamdulillah, many of our ulama have written kitabs also in Urdu, that have written kitabs on the tafsir of Suratul Kahf. So there's so many different aspects that come in the surah. Time does not permit us to go into too many details, but we will highlight some important points from the Suratul Kahf. First of all, there is an incident that happened before the revelation of the surah. And that became the catalyst for the revelation of Suratul Kahf. The people of Makkah Mukarrama, they left no stone unturned in trying to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best to stop this deen from spreading. Imagine that time Makkah Mukarrama, the chiefs of Makkah, the leaders. Imagine 1400 years later, if those chiefs and leaders were living to see what is Makkah Mukarrama like now. How busy Makkah Mukarrama is. How the message of us, the four corners of the world. So what they did was, they sent two people. Nadr ibn al-Haris and Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt. They told them, you all go to Madinah Munawwara. That time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Makkah Mukarrama. Go to the Jewish scholars, the Jewish rabbis. Go and ask them what we must do. This man has come, he's claiming to be a prophet. Those people have got knowledge of the previous scriptures. Maybe they can tell us something. So both these emissaries, these messengers, they come to Madinah Munawwara and they address the Jewish scholars and they tell them, this is our predicament. This man has come and he's claiming to be a prophet and we don't know what to do. So the Jewish scholars told them that pose three questions to him. If he answers these three questions, don't take a chance with him. Follow him. Don't interfere with him. That means he's a genuine Nabi and a prophet. And if he cannot answer the questions, then he's just making false claims and you deal with him in whichever way you feel suitable to deal with him. So what were the three questions? The first question was about the youngsters who disappeared and went away. In the past, there's an incident of some youngsters who disappeared, who went away. Tell us the story of those youngsters, the Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. And this is the surah is named after these youngsters. The second question was, tell us about the man who traversed the east and the west, Dhulqarnain. He was one of the four kings who ruled the entire world. Four kings in the history have ruled the entire world. One was Dhulqarnain. Two are Kafirs, two are Muslims. Third question was, tell us about the Ruh. Now the Ruh is something that is very subtle. You cannot see the Ruh. How can you explain about the Ruh? So they asked about the Ruh. So these people came back very happy. They came to the leaders of Makkah Mukarrama and they told him that we have got a solution now to the problem. And we've got something concrete. We have got three questions. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they posed the three questions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come back tomorrow I will give you all the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say inshallah. Forgot to say inshallah. Because of that, the wahi was delayed for about 15 days. 15 days the wahi and the revelation didn't come. The kuffar, they are rejoicing every day. He said, tomorrow he's going to give us the answer. Now so many days have passed. He still didn't give no answer. Remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yantiku anil hawa. He never spoke out of his own desires. In wa illa wahyu yuha. He only waited for revelation. And we also should never speak of our own desires. Shariat is not what we think the Shariat is, or what we want the Shariat to be, or how we understand the Shariat. No. Get the proper, concrete answer. Go and look for it, find it, understand it, apply it. So 15 days later, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came with the wahi, and the entire surah was revealed. And in Suratul Kahf, two questions were answered. One was the question about the people of the cave. The second was about Dhul Qarnain, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. And the other ayat about the ruh that came in Surah Bani Israel, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them this answers. We already from the surah, we already understanding two very, very important lessons. This Suratul Kahf, two phrases which we say on a daily basis comes in Suratul Kahf. Very, very powerful phrases which we supposed to say keeping the meaning in mind at all times. One is inshaAllah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَائِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't say anything I'm going to do tomorrow except that if Allah wills. Now very often we have got the habit of saying done. You know, it's there. It'll be there tomorrow. But we forget to say inshaAllah. So it's important to all Allah. InshaAllah, it will be done tomorrow. InshaAllah, this work will be carried out. So this is one, because if you look at this Dajjali fitna, this is a time when people have put all their trust on things. It's like a scientific time. You only can, whatever your eyes can see, you only believe that. No, no, you got this, then no, this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person can have everything, he can have all the means. Our time does not permit us to go into details, but outwardly a person can have everything. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't will it to happen, it's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. So make it a habit of always saying, inshaAllah, and ponder over the meaning. I can do nothing. No one can do nothing. Only Allah can do it. Only Allah can make it happen. While this is the dunya, we will have to follow the steps. But ultimately it is Allah that will make it materialize. The second important phrase we learn from Suratul Kahf is Masha Allah. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The few incidents that are mentioned in Suratul Kahf, one of the incidents mentioned about the two brothers according to some reports. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَهْدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ. Two brothers. One was a believer, the other was a kafir. It so happened the believer, because of his generosity, he hardly had anything. Everything he gave out. The kafir was very, very rich. He had all the riches. And the kafir was bragging, he was boasting. How people boast nowadays. People, Allah protect, how often it is, person, you know, this car of mine, I just did this, that property, that investment. People got this habit of boasting, bragging, Allah protect us. Allah Ta'ala can take that thing away within seconds. Who gave that to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. Allah can take it away. What are you boasting? What are you bragging about? So what the Muslim brother told him, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. When you enter your orchard, why don't you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This beautiful orchard is what Allah willed. Allah gave it to me. There's no strength, no power but with Allah. Why don't you say that? So he advised him, but ultimately the brother did not take the advice, and that whole thing got destroyed. Eventually, the whole orchard, everything got destroyed. But this important lesson of saying Masha Allah, Imam Malik Rahmatullahi, under this ayat it's mentioned, Tafsir Kitab say, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that every person entering his home, he should say, MashaAllah. Man went into his house, make shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with a home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with a shelter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you all these bounties. People are living on the streets. People are looking for shelters to sleep under. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Wahb ibn Munabbi, rahmatullahi alayhi, on the entrance of his home, he had this written, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. And some narrations mention that if a person says this, whenever he looks at any ni'mat, any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're looking at your child, you're saying, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. You're looking at your car, you're looking at your business, whatever you're looking at, you say this, inshallah, to the barakat of this, Allah will protect that. Allah will protect it against nazar. Allah will protect it against any harm. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. What a powerful phrase. Sometimes we don't say it, or if we're saying it, we're not saying it with that concentration, with that mindset, keeping the meaning in mind. So this also, we understand these two phrases from Suratul Kahf. The surah is named after the first incident that comes in it. The people of the cave. Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi wal-raqim. These people were in an environment of kufr and shirk. It was a time when people were sacrificing animals in the name of, in the names of idols. They were worshipping idols. So it was a time of kufr and shirk and disbelief. And they happened to go, seven youngsters. Imagine seven youngsters on one side. The whole community on the other side. But they held firm to the truth. Remember, we have to hold firm to the truth. Even though we may be outnumbered, you may be all alone, but you're holding firm to the truth. You're not moving away from the truth. You're not compromising when it comes to the truth. So they said, how can we live in an environment like this? This all sin happening, they moved away. We're sitting in this fair. They moved away. The seven of them, they built their own place of ibadat and they engaged in namaz. Very briefly, we're going to the incident. At some time when we study the surah, we can do the details of the incident. So these youngsters, the king of the time was an oppressive king. And he found out that they are making ibadat. And he wanted people only to worship him and worship idols. He didn't want anyone to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he summoned them. But in front of the king as well, they were firm. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَتَّتُوا. Our Lord is the Lord of the skies and the earth. We are not prepared to call anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will never do that. We're never going to worship anyone. So the king wanted to kill them, but then he gave them respite and he said, I will let you go. I will give you all time to think over this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them. They ran to the cave and the miracle then transpired in the cave where they lived for 300 solar years, 309 lunar years. They slept there. They did not even know. So many years passed. They woke up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made that miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it came into the open. People of that time, they realized that, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything. Anything is within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah revived the dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow someone to live like this here. So that people don't have these doubts in their minds. A lot of people have these doubts. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to revive the dead? How is resurrection going to take place? No, it will take place with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the prescribed time. So what did these youngsters do? Hadi Nakhuda sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, in one of his discourses, he mentioned that there were few things they did. How they protected themselves against the fitna. Number one is that they had the quality of taqwa. This taqwa is very, very important. Taqwa always have this concern. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is you got the mindset that I must get something that suits me. Allah protect. Don't ever have that mindset. Don't ever think to yourself, I must always get an answer that suits me. No, what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What Allah will be pleased with. Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to make a wrong move in my life. I don't want to displease you, because everything is in the call. If you displease Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He can seize you within minutes, within seconds, and He can destroy you and everything you have. And we see it all the time. So one is that they had taqwa. The second thing is they moved away from that environment. Don't stay in a wrong environment. Now, as we approaching the holiday period, you're going to get all different types of environments where this vice is going to be taking place. Think to yourself before you go into that environment, if it's not a necessity. What is a necessity? A man has to go. He's got no other option. That's a different story. But if it's not a necessity, think to yourself, do you want to go in this environment or not? Are you prepared for Malakul Maut to take your life in that environment or not? If you're prepared to die there, then go in that environment. You come into the masjid, you'll be happy to die. Who's going to have any doubts? Man is going out in Jamaat, is going in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he's going to Makkah Mukarramah, he's going to Madinah Munawwara. He'll be happy to pass away there. So think to yourself. So they moved away from the wrong environment. We have to move away from that environment. No change is going to happen until and unless we move away from that environment. The third thing is they engage in dua. Put your trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and make dua. In fact, the mashayikh are saying now, only that man can get saved from the fitna who cries like a drowning man asking for help. That's how much of dua you need to make. That's how we need to be focused in our dua and sincere in our dua, that we crying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that man can get saved from the fitna. And the fourth thing is salah. So we come to the environment of the masjid, we engage in salah within our homes, we read salah, salah will bring the rahmat of Allah, salah will bring the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Respected friends, this is also the era of the cave concept. We have to also implement the cave concept. Our masjid is our cave. Our khanka is our cave. Going out in tabligh, that is your cave. Reading the Quran Sharif, that is your cave. Engaging in zikr, that is your cave, that is your protection. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.